Okay, I'd like the board members and staff to introduce themselves by stating their names and affiliation. I am Dr. Joseph Cifolo. I'm the retired medical director of the transfusion service at NYU Winthrop Hospital. Rachel? Tim? Hello?
Just a minute, Dr. Cifolo.
Rachel's going to have to let us know.
Okay, Rachel's not with us right now?
I don't think so.
Okay, Tim?
He's down at the bottom.
No. David?
No, yes. Tim.
Hello, David?
David Husky.
Yes. Philip?
And you're just unmute all.
I know, but you're going to get a horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Heart, blood and marrow transplant and cellular therapy.
I'm sorry, Dr. Cifolo. We had muted everybody. Let's start that again. We unmuted all the participants. So if you could start over again, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I am Dr. Joseph Cifolo. I'm the retired medical director of the transfusion service at NYU Winthrop Hospital. Rachel, are you on? Tim?
Tim Hilbert. I'm the medical director of the blood bank and transfusion service at NYU Langone Medical Center.
David?
Hello, I'm David Husky, registered nurse. I'm a public representative from the governor's office.
Phil?
Hi, Philip McCarthy, transplant and cellular therapy at Roswell Park in Buffalo.
Okay, and the DOH staff, can you please introduce yourselves?
Yes, my name is Derek Samula, and I work at the Wadsworth Center. I am the director of the Division of Laboratory Quality Certification, which includes things like blood banks and tissue banks.
My name is Beverly Rausch. I'm the director of the Clinical Laboratory Evaluation Program. I'm also the deputy director for the Division of Laboratory Quality Certification, and I've been chosen as the commissioner's proxy for the Council on Blood Service, Human Blood and Transfusion Services. Sorry.
My name is Danum Talfoxa. I am a pathologist. I'm board certified in transfusion medicine, and I provide subject matter expertise in these areas to the Wadsworth Center Blood Resources Program.
I'm Matthew Cohen. I'm director of the Tissue Resources Program within Wadsworth.
And I'm Andrea Garavelli. I work in Wadsworth in extramural grants administration.
This is Beverly again. I would like to thank all the council members for your time and commitment to making these meetings a priority. Your attendance is critical to the success of this program. Now we will introduce the members of the public who are attending today's meeting. Each registered participant will be announced, and there'll be time reserved at the end of the public meeting for public comment.
So we have a number of registered participants: Margaret Vandervoort from the Vandervoort Group, Mark O'Rourke from Takeda Pharmaceuticals, Danielle Melendez from Farrell Fritz representing Takeda, Mark Houston from Farrell Fritz representing Takeda, Roger Brinster from Takeda, Amy Dalheim from Takeda. We have Amy Schmidt from CSL Plasma, who may be joining us, Carla White from CSL Behring. We also have some guests this morning, Brian Stoker from Grifols, Ruth Espinoza, Nellie Cherney from KED Plasma, Bill Spire, Marianne Ferrallo, and Karen Clifford. We've also got a representative from the Division of Legal Affairs within the department, Jason Riegert.
Thank you, Matt. Council members should have received today's exhibits to be discussed. Our agenda includes important items, including discussion and voting on plasma donation regulation changes. As our first order of business, we'd like to propose to appoint Matt Cohn as the council secretary. Matthew is the director of the tissue resource program at Wadsworth.
Okay, may I have a motion to appoint Matthew Cohn as the council secretary as presented?
This is Philip McCarthy. I make a motion to approve.
And a second?
This is David Husky. I second the motion.
Okay. Roll call. Joseph Cifolo, approve. Tim?
Tim, I approve.
Bill?
I approve.
David?
I approve.
Okay, I believe we need five people to approve the motion. Is that correct, Beverly?
That's correct, and I would be the fifth person to make that vote. I approve.
The motion is approved. Now we'll hear an overview from Derek about the proposed regulation changes. Derek, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Dr. Cifolo. So I'm just going to summarize the changes that we've made. Subpart 58-2 of Title 10 of the New York Code of Rules and Regulations establishes regulatory requirements for all aspects of blood banking, including personnel qualifications, donor screening and care, record keeping, and certain technical specifications. The department proposes to revise sections 58-2.14 and 58-2.15 and to add a new section, 58-2.28. There are no other proposed changes to Part 58-2. 58-2.14 is specific to the collection of source plasma intended to be used in the manufacture of blood derivatives, such as anti-SARS-CoV-2 immunoglobulin. Section 58-2.5 is specific to the collection of plasma and other blood components intended for transfusion. I will describe 58-2.28 in a moment. The proposed changes are intended to harmonize New York's requirements with national standards, ensuring the availability of plasma and other blood components while maintaining high blood safety standards. I will summarize those changes in a moment. But first, I want to describe the rulemaking process for today. Due to the COVID public health emergency and the urgent need for convalescent plasma and derivatives, these amendments are proposed under the New York State emergency rulemaking process. An emergency rule expires within 90 days of adoption unless readopted. Because an emergency rule is only temporary, the department intends to make the proposed amendments, which we will be discussing today, permanent through the standard rulemaking process. Today, the council will be asked to vote on the proposed emergency regulation. The council may vote to approve the proposed language as is, or it may require that changes be made. If minor changes are required, the council may move to approve the proposed emergency regulation contingent on these changes being made. However, substantial changes will require departmental review and an additional meeting of this council prior to adoption. Once the council approves the proposed emergency regulation, the regulations will be forwarded to the commissioner of the Department of Health for approval and filed for immediate adoption. The council will not be asked to vote on the permanent rule today. That vote will take place at a subsequent council meeting after the public comment period that is required for the permanent rule by the standard rulemaking process. The council may require changes to the permanent rule, even if no changes are made to the proposed emergency regulations. For today's meeting, I may use the term proposed amendments, proposed changes, amendment, change, etc., and when I do so, I am referring to the proposed emergency regulations. So changes to the content of the regulations. The changes to these sections are extensive, and I will not be reviewing them line by line. They have been provided to the council. Instead, I will summarize the changes, emphasizing key points. After that, there will be time to discuss the changes and request clarification. I ask that you hold your questions until then. One major change is that the proposed amendments would incorporate by reference federal requirements for the collection of plasma and other blood components by apheresis. The new section, 58-2.28, formally adds these requirements. Federal requirements under 21 CFR and Code of Federal Regulations, 630 and 640, cover the same areas as current New York State requirements in sections 58-2.14 and 58-2.15. The federal requirements would replace existing New York State requirements in many places. In certain places, New York State requirements apply in addition to federal requirements. Most of this summary will focus on these New York State requirements and how they differ from the current requirements. Many of the proposed changes apply to both sections. I will note those that are specific to a section. In the proposed amendments, collecting, storing, or distributing plasma for further manufacture, or blood components for transfusion still require a CLEP blood bank permit. The blood bank director, as currently required, still must have a certificate of qualification that includes blood banking collection-comprehensive. However, new language explicitly allows the director to delegate many duties to a responsible physician who does not need to qualify as a blood bank director. We also have removed certain personnel titles not used in the federal requirements or elsewhere in Part 58. In other areas, currently only a physician, as currently written in the regulation, only a physician may perform donor-informed consent. The proposed amendments allow additional healthcare personnel to do so. In addition, all language related to donor infection has been removed from both sections, 58-2.14 and 58-2.15. These subjects now default to the federal requirements. In addition, most language related to other donor qualifications has been removed, with the exception of certain language in subdivision 58-2.15E, as in Edward. This subdivision now uses nationally recognized criteria for the volume and frequency of donation to determine the suitability of a potential donor for a specific procedure, and this subdivision has been heavily revised. Further, current language requires a physician to be on site at the facility at all times. The proposed amendments allow other healthcare personnel to fulfill this function and also limit the on-site requirement to only when collection occurs. Similarly, the proposed amendments would no longer specifically require physician consultation in emergencies. Instead, the facility must have policies and procedures in place to address emergencies. The proposed amendments also remove most qualifications for personnel who perform apheresis procedures. Personnel requirements now rely on training, which itself has been simplified in the proposed language. And lastly, most technical requirements related to apheresis or plasmapheresis and record keeping requirements would be removed in the proposed amendments. These would default to federal requirements. That completes my summary of the proposed emergency amendments.
Thank you, Derek. Now we'll begin the question and discussion period. Derek, I had one question. The term source plasma and serial plasmapheresis, and this is Joe Cifolo, seem to be used interchangeably when there is somewhat of a difference between the two. I mean, when you're speaking about the hyperimmune globulin, that is source plasma. When you're talking about the convalescent plasma, that is not considered source plasma.
Correct. Right, and if we have failed to distinguish between those in the reg, we could make that editing change. But yes, the source plasma is specifically for manufacturer, not for transfusion.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought there was maybe a little bit a lack of some consistency there.
Okay, we can certainly look at that.
Dave Husky here. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Section 58-214, HF, page 7. I see the identity of the donor and container shall be confirmed by at least 2 technical staff members. What is a technical staff member? Is that a lesson or?
I don't believe we have that defined in the regulatory language. My interpretation would be that this would be someone who is involved, who has been trained by the facility to perform the procedure.
I see. So it's not the same as a transfusion, which needs 2 registered nurses or above? It's a reinfusion, I understand, but is there a difference? I mean, as far as legally, who can do it?
Just a moment.
Sure.
Yes, that's correct. This is different from transfusion. We're talking about technical personnel who have been trained in the donation process and the donation process.
Okay. I just want to clarify that. No other questions.
Thank you.
This is Joe Giafolo. I just have another comment. Under 2.15, it's actually page 13 of the document. At the very top, it states platelet, leukocyte, and granulocyte donors shall donate no more frequently. What do you include under leukocyte there? Because to me, it looks redundant having both leukocyte and granulocyte.
I don't remember the history of this specific phrase, and if you think that's redundant, we can certainly look at, again, a minor edit to clarify that language.
Yeah, because I think probably just platelet and granulocyte. Also, I do have one question on number three going down. The donors may not donate more than 24 times in a 12-month period. I knew that applied to platelets, but I'm just asking the question, does it apply to the other apheresis donors also?
Moment. Dr. Cifilda, we're looking at our notes on that one. Do you have any other questions?
No, that's it.
This is Dr. Hilbert. I have a separate question.
Yes, Dr. Hilbert.
My question is about informed consent. In both instances, it says that it shall be obtained in writing after a switching from qualified individual to an LIP nurse explains the procedure. Is that, I mean, I just my limited experience from apheresis in general is that collections, they may not have a registered nurse available to perform each consent for each donor. Is that a, I mean, to me it seems maybe the practice has changed, and when we had a donor did apheresis collections, but it seems like a burden for some of these places where they would have donor specialists and other people involved. Is it required that it be done on by the ABB or by FDA?
I believe this is one of the New York State specific requirements.
I mean, to me, it seems like I just don't know that all donor services would be in a position to have either an LIP or a registered nurse perform the consent process. Also, you know, some of these people, especially for source plasma or platelets, they donate all the time. So, you know, perhaps what we used to do on occasion was, you know, we would review it with people as a physician, you know, not every time that they donated, but you know, prior to the first or something like that. It seems like a lot, and I just don't know that all donor services would be in a position to do that.
Well, I believe the thinking here was that healthcare personnel would be the most suitable and most qualified to do that, to explain the risks.
I agree with you. I just don't know that, you know, that's a, I can ask how places are doing it, but I just don't know that they would have staff available as a registered nurse or an LIP to perform that consent on each donor at each visit.
Yes, I see your point. We could discuss how to interpret this with our Division of Legal Affairs, but it's not obvious from the current language that that consent would be required at every single donation, for example.
Sometimes in hospitals, people will consent the patient, and usually it's not forever, but for a specified period of time or for a series of events.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Okay, and Dr. Cifilda, I just want to go back to your earlier question about the number of times that someone can donate within the 24-month period.
Yes.
And that's actually taken from the AABB language.
I believe that that was just for, is that also for plasma? I thought it was just for platelets. I may be wrong, but I know platelets were 24 times in a year maximum.
All right. Yes, we would have to look back at the origin of that phrase.
It's a minor point.
Okay.
All right, anybody else have any other questions or concerns? We have some more time. Right, should we move on then?
Certainly.
Okay. Our next order of business is to vote to approve the recommended regulation changes as presented. May I have a motion to approve the changes as presented?
This is Philip McCarthy. I move to approve.
May I have a second?
That's with the clarifications that they might make based
with the clarifications that were brought up, yes.
Second.
And who seconded that?
Dr. Hilbert.
Okay, thank you.
Now I'll do a roll call. Joe Cifolo, accept. Tim?
Accept.
Phil?
Sorry, on you. Yes, I accept. Thank
you. Over here, Rachel, on mute.
I'm sorry, it broke up.
Hi, it's Rachel. I just got on a little while ago, but I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Vote. Sorry.
That's okay. All right, so we had an acceptance by Joe, by Phil, by Tim and David. Okay, Beverly?
Accept.
Okay, the motion is accepted. Thank you for making these important decisions.
This is Beverly. I'd also like to thank you for all your thoughtful comments and clarifications. Next is the public comment portion of the meeting. Are there any members of the public who wish to make comments today? As a reminder, please signal your desire to make a comment using the chat feature, and we'll acknowledge your request one at a time. So I have not, I don't see any requests coming in right now. We can just give it another minute. And if there's no requests that are coming in for a public comment, I think we can move on.
Beverly, did you want to set an approximate date for the next council meeting?
Well, the emergency regulation is in effect for 90 days, so we should probably.
Right. So no more than 90 days, certainly.
Right, so we should probably look at middle of November.
The reg package goes forward. It has to open for a 60-day public comment period
before
we have the meeting again.
Right.
Well,
but if it's going out
to 60 days would be okay, beginning of November.
Probably going to have to be early December, late November, something like
okay.
That.
Okay.
Yep. Right around Thanksgiving, essentially.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else have any other things to bring up? All right, thank you all. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn. David Husky.
May I have a second?
Philip McCarthy, I second.
Okay, roll call. Joe Cifolo, yes. Rachel?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Beverly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We are adjourned.